I can feel the heat closing in, feel them out there making their moves, setting up their devil doll stool pigeons, crooning over my spoon and dropper I throw away at Washington Square Station.
So began a public reading of William S. Burroughs' novel, Naked Lunch, in early December. The six-hour marathon was held at a Bloomington cafe to kickstart the Burroughs Century, a festival in February to celebrate what would have been Burroughs' 100th birthday.
Burroughs was a spoken word artist. Before I ever read Naked Lunch, I heard Burroughs reading it.
Charles Cannon is one of the founders of the Burroughs Century Festival.
Naked Lunch really is an assault on the senses. And hearing it read, it is simply not the same as sitting at home in your easy chair or sitting in the coffee shop.
Naked Lunch is known for its bewildering structure and lack of conventional plot. Cannon says that reading it aloud is getting to the root of Burroughs' intention.
Never smelled anything remotely like it. Where was I?
Burroughs is challenging his readers. There are juxtapositions. There are transitions in the story that are so sudden, that are so seemingly illogical, that when reading it aloud, I think you have to repress a certain instinct within yourself. You kind of have to fight that urge in your own mind. You want it to make sense. But sometimes you simply have to present his words as they are written. Burroughs and a number of authors that followed him, who were influenced by him, refuse to write logically.
Brian copied out phrases from newspapers and magazines, then took a scissors and cut these selections into pieces and rearranged the fragments at random.
In this recording, Burroughs describes his friend Brian Gysin's innovative cut-up technique.
The next step was cut-ups on the tape recorder. And Brian was the first to take this obvious step. Now, here are some tapes which Brian made with all the technical facilities of the BBC in London. And they show, I think, what can be done with a human voice and one phrase.
All active, calling.
Calling all reactive agents.
All active.
Calling all active agents. Calling all active agents.
During the mid-1960s, he began experiments with tape manipulation. So some of the recordings that came out in the 1970s were literally Burroughs and Gysin and another collaborator of theirs, Ian Somerville, just experimenting with reel-to-reel tape recorders, recording street sounds, recording Burroughs himself reading, recording the sound of television from the other room, and splicing tape back and forth, recording from one recorder onto another, in part just to see what they could come up with, but also trying to create new forms of communication.
Burroughs' experimentation with splicing words and rearranging them to make new, often illogical phrases stemmed from more than just artistic creativity. Like other artists and writers of the postmodern era, Burroughs had a deep suspicion of language, and the cut-up method was one way of expressing this suspicion.
Powder trains burn back through pink convolutions.
We have to think about his literary techniques and the reason that he pursued them. Burroughs was very interested in the subject of control. And one of the things that he wanted to do, what he wanted to achieve, was to dismantle language and to look at the way that language is used to influence and control people.
So the cut-up method is intended to underline the fact that even though language is arbitrary, it can be used for coercive purposes. Cannon says that reading Burroughs' work aloud emphasizes this even more, since you become more conscious of language when it's out loud.
Of course, you will have to move to the East 60s. This place is impossible, darling. And your friend, and a safe mob wants Jim back to drive a car. This is a step up, you dig? Officer from Citizens hardly see him before. Will Jim go back to crime? Will Brad succumb to the blandishments of an aging vampire?
Everything is toward that larger purpose of making you aware of language, making you aware of what words are doing.
This is one of the things that makes Burroughs distinct from other spoken word artists of the era.
His novels are not traditional in any sense, not in the subject matter, not in their form. The combination of his voice, his entirely unique way of presenting his own work, the way that he harkens back more to vaudeville than he does to a poetry reading. Honestly, I think that he created a new form.
If I knew, I'd be glad to tell you. No good, no bueno. Hustling myself. No glot. Plum Fly Day. Tangier, 1959.
Burroughs is strange in that he is a man who lived by words, and yet he never completely trusted them. So what is it that Burroughs is actually reaching toward? Well, he says over and over again what he is reaching for is silence, which is a very strange thing for a writer to say.
Doors that only open in silence. Naked Lunch demands silence from the reader. Otherwise, he is taking his own pulse. Robert Christie.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Colleen Leahy.